You're listening to Samuel Emerson, pastor at Cloverdale Church.
I remember I was reminded of a story tonight as I was kind of just preparing. And when I was in grade 10, I actually left the Christian private school that I had gone to all my life. And I went to public school, Earl Merritt Secondary. Ooh, yeah. So we went there and it was ghetto. It's a lot nicer now. And when I was going there, it was for sure ghetto. And so it was time to do something that in Christian school just wasn't really something that we were going to talk about. We were going to take a class called sex ed. I was like, whoa, it's going to be awesome. And so all the young guys in there, they kind of walked in with all this swag, like, yeah, like, what's this lady going to teach me? Or what's this guy going to teach me? Nobody knew who was going to be teaching the class. Everyone had guesses. And they're like, well, we really hope it's this really hot teacher. Hopefully she'll teach. And we're like, that'll be awesome. And, but it turned out to be this really old lady. Like, she like kind of walked in and like, hey, going to teach us about sex ed. And we're like, what? Like, what are you going to tell us about sex? Like, have you ever had sex? Like, is this ever going to be okay for you? Like, and so we're all in there going like, ah, oh, I don't even know what's going on. And the kind of posture of our heart was, yeah, we kind of know enough, or we kind of figured it out all by ourselves anyways. And so we know what we need to know, and what are you really going to teach us? And it was unbelievable. This lady was like Yoda. She just kind of like came out and was like, ah! She'd say stuff that made like high school grade 10 boys be like, oh. Just like what? And it was worse coming out of her mouth too, because they're just like, ah. But in many ways, there's something really both special and stupid about the way that we are. And the way that we are and the way that God wired us is that we think that when something special is going on in our emotions, we think that we've invented it. We think that we're the only ones that know how good it really is. And that's unbelievable. When you're eating a meal, or you're going down a mountain on a snowboard, or you're wakeboarding, or you're doing anything like that, you feel for a moment, especially if you're really good at it, that people, yeah, they know about it, but they don't really know about it. Kind of like how when I first got my driver's license, my parents had this old beater Mazda 323. And now the new Mazda 323s look pretty sick. This one was ghetto. It was like a little box. And I was like, neat, neat. And so me and my friends, we'd love to go down to Kitts Beach and we'd play basketball down there. And so when I was driving, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. And there wasn't all these weird end rules back then. There was only one end rule, and it was that you had to have it. And so you could just pack out your car. It didn't matter. And so we'd go down to Kitts Beach and stuff and go play basketball down there and just have some fun. And I remember driving home from downtown Vancouver, a Dodge Viper pulled up beside me. And I'm a young boy, and I was like, a Dodge Viper? It's a really hot car. It's very fast. It's epic. It was crazy black. The guy in there was pounding his music. And I just kind of looked at him, and I was like, I was just dumb. And we were full of basketball players in my car. And I kind of revved my engine beside it. And he revved his engine, and I wet my pants. And I was like, oh, jeez. And this car was so good. And I kind of looked at it, this car, and I was like, I was on the right and he was on the left, and he kind of just gave me a little bit of a wink, and I was like, oh, we're going to try. And so I floored it, and as a Mazda 323 little box, it just didn't go anywhere. It was kind of like, man, it's kind of a little pause. And he floored it, and he was through the intersection. Like, I kid you not, he was through the intersection. And then after he was through the intersection, his wheel started spinning, and he just, and I honestly wasn't through the intersection before he was out of sight in Vancouver, which was flat. Okay, we're driving on Oak Street, and it was, this car was super fast, and truthfully, if we asked about car experiences, that guy might know a little bit more about cars, and might even look at the what I've driven in my lifetime is not really even driving a car, that his car would be so good, so epic, so amazing, that it would make my experience of driving a car not so good. And that's kind of a picture of God's view of relationship, God's view of sex. It's kind of like a picture of something really hot, awesome, amazing, mysterious, something that's reserved for only those that are turning to Him, Only those that are saved by grace and that are able to humbly go, okay, Jesus, hey, what does relationship actually look like? And what does life with you actually look like? And in that reality, God has, and it might sound arrogant, because when somebody tells you, like sometimes it feels like a shot down kind of world. Now, that doesn't mean that every Christian, just because you're a Christian, you're going to have a great life, great marriage, great sex life. It doesn't mean that you're going to have the best relationships ever just because you are saved. But those that are saved, that look to Jesus as the one and the source of relationships, they are the ones that get to hear and see what relationships really could be. Now, there's lots of things in our hearts and in our lives that seem to disqualify us from actually seeing that. Maybe our past experiences that we've had become very difficult and very frustrating and very awkward for us to be around. And so even talking about relationships and later talking about sex and all of those kind of things, it becomes something difficult for us to see clearly into, because it's either been wrongly portrayed in our life, either our parents, we're thinking about our parents being like, they must not have ever had sex. But, or we're thinking about family and friends, or just different people that are like, oh, they're Christian, or they claim to have a good life, but really it's not all that good. And so there's a lot of barriers. Like the world is full of barriers for us that will keep us from hearing and seeing the plan of God, and keep us from seeing exactly what he has called us to see in relationships. And so you're here, and obviously you want to hear a little bit. And at no point am I trying to be like somebody that in an arrogant way that is going, like if you've had any experiences in any way sexually, that am I trying to say that you're, you don't even know, or like looking like a guy with a really hot car going like, hey, only I know what it's really like. I'm not trying to be like that at all. I want to take you through over the next 6 weeks and bring in people that have done it right and done it wrong, and bring in people that will kind of speak into just different areas that we'll be able to see clearly God's view of sex and relationship, because everybody's thinking about it. Everybody wants to know. And I mean, in grade 10, I was with guys that didn't even open a book ever in their life. And when it came to sex ed, those books were completely folded and like looking and reading. Because here's the other thing, is everybody wants to think they're doing it right or doing it well. Okay? When it comes to relationships and marriage and all of those kind of things, nobody ever wants to admit that it's a struggle. Admit that it's not as easy as they thought, or admit that they're not as perfect, okay? There used to be an obsession about sex, but then as people have a lot of sex, now it's not just about sex, but it's how you're having sex and who you're having it with and all of those kind of things. And the world constantly is searching for a right definition, a right answer, kind of like somebody that takes a really junky car and it barely can move, and they kind of keep adding things to it to soup it up, but really it's not, that car was never meant to go really fast or take you really far, when God has something completely special and reserved for you. And so this might sound confusing as an intro, but what I want to give you tonight is an invitation to hear, for one, what God has for you, and to have a right perspective as to what relationships look like. And you need to know this right from the beginning. You need to have this kind of understanding right in your mind and in your heart, is that no matter how much you know about relationships, unless you're in one, eventually your knowledge is useless. And no matter how, hear this, and no matter how much you try to study and you want to get it perfect and you're listening to sermons and you've come to even this relationship series before, it's not going to equal you having a great life, okay? Having a great life and a great marriage, you have to have a posture of humility. You have to be willing to ask really hard questions. You have to be willing to go, hey, I might not have this all figured out. I'll listen to anybody and everybody about what they have about to offer about relationships. And at no point in my life am I ever going, I totally got it all covered. I'm totally set. Because the thing about relationships is it's real. You can't really hold it in your hand. It's something always changing, always moving, always sometimes being frustrating, sometimes being amazing. And so it's that kind of life where you, if you listen, we want to set you up for success, but we also don't want to give you a false hope that just because you listen this way, or just because you're keeping yourself pure, or just because all of these things are lined up in a row, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to all work out hunky-dory or perfect, okay? The most highly written songs are about songs about love, songs about relationships. And one person's story of a heartbreak that their heart just got ripped out is other people's favorite song they love listening to because they can identify it. Like love, relationships, sex, marriage, everything is all out there, and it's all up for different people's opinions. And so you're flooded with information. But the primary way and the primary source of all relationships and that really hot car is Jesus, okay? So if you're ever going to know anything about relationships, you've got to go to the source. We're going to talk tonight about where it all starts. And it starts with Jesus. It starts with the gospel. And I'm going to work really hard this relationship series at giving you kind of one big idea that'll hold you through the entire night that will be something that you can walk away with and something you can practically apply. And so for those of you that have been in past relationship series, tonight I'm not going to be talking about anybody jumping into any prickle bushes to get rid of sexual temptation. I'm not going to be talking about anybody feeling up snowmen. If you've ever heard that before. If you're new here and you're like, do what? Ask somebody that's been here before. I'm also not going to talk about any table legs, just in case. You know, I know that some people had to check into a hospital later because they're like, oh, I'm caught. But no, I'm joking. I'm not gonna talk about that tonight. I'm gonna talk about Jesus. And the primary big thought that I want to give you tonight is relationships, Jesus, the gospel in every single way is about self-giving love. Okay? That's what it is. So right now, you can practice for marriage by living out the gospel well that where you right where you are. That right now you can practice for your whole future, and not practice, you're making decisions that will affect your whole future, your whole life. But the big idea is Jesus demonstrates that relationships and the gospel is about self-giving love. The world, this would be totally countercultural, because the world would say, no. It's about me coming to find who I really am, my self-actualization, to be the best me I can be. And so relationships then are all about, when you look at relationships, you're checking people out based on how hot they are, how much they might make, how smart they are, based on all of these features that will help advance you, because you're not really out to love them, you're out to love you and make you look good, because you can't be seen with anybody that won't make you look good. That's what the world would say. The world would say it's all about advancing yourself, self-actualization or self-fulfillment. It's all about my needs, what I need in this moment, what I need in this time. It's all about me, 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 me. And that's the reality of what the world is looking for. And so when you hear something like the gospel and relationships are all about self-giving love, and that's, some of you are probably like, I wanted to hear about sex. We'll get there more. But honestly, best sex is found in self-giving love. You figure out how to do that, and you'll have mind-blowing sex. Okay? Just going to throw that out there. And that's not just my opinion. That's just straight-up statistics. Okay? That's just straight-up people that are little scientist people or sociologists kind of crunching numbers, and they phone people on interviews and go, how's your sex life going? And they're like, wow, it's pretty garbage. And they're like, anyways, no. So there's a lot of stuff going on. But do you guys hear what I'm saying about self-giving love? And so tonight, I want to set you up for success that not just, that this is how you can relate to your family. This is how you're to relate to your school. This is how you're a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just telling people about who he is, which is primary and which is what we are called, but actually to demonstrate his gospel through a totally upside down paradigm called self-giving love. That actually all that you are, you're giving in such a way that costs you something. So many people are scared to define their relationship or scared to pursue somebody because they're afraid that they might get rejected, that they have too much to lose, or it might hurt too much. But if you flipped it on its head and you went, I'm out to give this person the very best, to leave them better than I found them, to not take advantage of them sexually, to not take advantage of them emotionally or financially, but rather to give myself to them and see what God has for us in this, because that's what we should all be doing all of the time. And therefore, emotional relationships, when you start being attracted to somebody and your heart goes a little bit faster and you're like, I just like them so much, that then you just continue in self-giving love and it doesn't change. Because it switches everything in your mind. That it's not about you and your needs, your fulfillment, but rather the secret of the kingdom of God is as you lose yourself, you truly find yourself. And that might be like, really? The Bible actually says if you seek to hold on to your life, your stuff, everything that you are, you'll end up losing it. But if you seek Jesus, seek his life, and you lose yourself in him, you actually find yourself. And I mean, doesn't that seem like a bit of a mystery? Seem like it's a little bit hidden? And so the primary foundation of all relationships is looking at the life of Jesus. If it doesn't line up with Jesus, it's not worth looking at. And there's so many funny things that we could talk about right now. There's so many things about relationships and life. And I'm so excited to begin to talk about, but I want to give you tonight something that I think will just set you on a course that'll save you time, like Isaac said, that'll save your life. If you apply this and you begin to do this, and guess what? It doesn't come naturally. And more than knowing about it, you have to walk it out. You cannot think for a minute that you can live as selfishly as you want right now as a young person, and actually when you'll be able to turn on self-giving love when you're married. The habits that you're rocking right now are going to carry into marriage and they'll worsen in marriage. It's like, oh no. Like, I used to think I was pretty awesome until I got married. I was like, maybe I'm not so good anymore. Like, there's something amazing about that close relationship. And so God actually says at the very beginning, Genesis 2:4, he actually parallels that there's the beginning of relationship. When God wanted to demonstrate his relationship to the world, he created a marriage. And he did that with Adam and Eve. And the funny thing is, Adam and Eve, they didn't start dating. They didn't court. They didn't hang out for a while. They were just married. And God's like, boom, picture. Now work backwards from it. Do you understand? Like, just kind of threw it in there and goes, here's the goal. Now work backwards from it. That's the reality. That's where you're going, and work backwards from it. And then the gospel comes in the New Testament and the full revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives value to those that are called to be single. And some of you in this room, literally, you need to know right from the beginning, marriage is not the be all and the end all. Now, a lot of people want to get married, and that's good. You have the desire to get married, you probably are supposed to get married. 93%+ will get married in the world. So, I mean, your odds are really high. Okay? Those are good odds. You get 93% on a test, you're like, yes. Some of you are like, it's not perfect, though. But that's okay. We'll pray for you. So there's something for us in marriage. And singleness is awesome. And God gives purpose to singleness. Because God takes relationships and he goes, your relationship doesn't define you. You're not defined by who you're with. You're not defined by how much you make. You're defined by who he is, who Jesus is, and what he says about you. Our identity, our life is all about him. So it would be foolish of me to start anywhere else but with Jesus. It'd be foolish for me to even open up Genesis and go, hey, let's just look at Adam and Eve. It's all about Jesus. And if you live out the gospel and you live the starting place of all of life in the gospel of Jesus' love for us and that we are saved and forgiven and commissioned to live a self-giving life, that's where we truly understand how to live. And we start walking in the path in the life that he has for us. So turn to Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You have your Bibles here. If not, I'm just going to read this for you. This is the picture. And we're going to go through this nice and quick. Ephesians 5, chapter 20, says this: "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. God gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, so that she might be holy without blemish. In the same way, husbands, love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, but I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. And so what we see here in the Gospels is that in the New Testament here, we see that when God pictured marriage, when God used marriage as a picture, he had Christ and the church in mind. And so he gave us a starting place of all relationships in church life, in family life, and in marriage life, if you will. Friends, is a picture of his love for the church. And that's our call. That's our call. And so truly, marriage only works in this pattern, in this framework of self-giving love. And where it breaks down is selfishness, where you're about self-fulfillment, self-actualization, self-realization. And culture has bought, if you think for a minute that sex and relationships is about personal choice or it's about expressing yourself, you're super wrong, okay? God created sex not to be an expression of, but a tool to build love. Sex is to be reserved for marriage and only marriage. And we're not to play around with it. And as we play around with it, fool around with it, fondle it, if you will, as we are thinking we know better, we are devaluing the very gift that God has for us. We're devaluing the very life that God has for us. And it's something so amazing that God would entrust us as young people with sexual drives. Like, it's not easy. Like, if you ever have seen somebody and your heart goes faster, good for you. You're a living, breathing human being with a thing called a sex drive. And that is literally to drive you to a place of self-giving love. Not joking. Myself, like, no, it's to make me feel good. No. Feel good is the gift that God gives you in marriage. He gives it to you in marriage. And here's the thing. The more you screw around at the beginning of your life before you are married, the more you actually devalue your relationship in marriage. Is it hopeless for you? Absolutely not. But do not presume upon God's grace, because God's grace for you might look totally different than God's grace for somebody else. God's grace for some people is that as they're having sex, they get pregnant. That's God's grace. God's grace for some people is that when they're messing around with a lot of people, God's grace looks different for different people. And you need to place your hope in him, place your trust in him, and don't for a minute think, oh, it'll be okay, or I'll just deal with it, or it's good enough. It's not good enough. Relationships, sex, I'm telling you, it's not worth messing around beforehand. And if you're messing around now, or you've messed around before, now's the time to go, oh God, have mercy on me, and turn to him and let the gospel change and transform your heart, that you would see his way as valuable. The thing about a sex drive that literally is very difficult to manage, I will give you that. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's like, man, seriously, it's hard to deal with. And that's okay. And don't for a minute think you're the only person in the universe. I, for the longest time growing up, thought I had the highest sex drive in the universe. I'd be like, man, I'm just going to break something in a minute. And like, it's just that kind of deal. Like, and honestly, but what is it causing us to do? It's a focus point. And it's that which should turn us to Jesus for the grace and the strength to get through. And the grace and the strength to do well. Some of you would be like, oh, it's too hard to wait. Some people would say, I'm just too horny or I'm just too passionate. No, you're not passionate enough. If I told you that if you could stay a virgin till you're 21, if I told you you could make it complete virgin, I mean, adding in there oral sex, mutual masturbation, all of that kind of stuff where you're messing with somebody else. Okay, if I told you, hey, what if you, could you wait till you're 21 without touching anybody? Could you wait till you're 25? And I said, if you do that, I'll give you $10 million. Every single one of you, I think, would be like, a girl walked up to you and you're some dude walking along and be like, sorry, $10 million. Give me your number. I'll call you later when I make it there. Like, do you understand? Why? Because that's a motivating factor. $10 million would be a motivating factor to buy something nice. I'll give you $1 billion. Like truthfully, if I had the money, I would love to do that as a social experiment. I can't even come close to promising you that. I probably will never make $10 million in my entire lifetime, let alone in one moment. Like, do you hear what I'm saying? But every one of us, we would become so passionate for it. We would be doing sit-ups. We would be doing push-ups. We would do anything it takes to keep our sex drive off other people and just focused on Jesus. Seriously. Because we'd be going, $10 million, $10 million. Here it comes. Here it comes. And then finally we get there and we'd be like, woohoo! And it would just be the best. And you'd reserve something. But here's what that exposes is it's not impossible. It's not impossible. It's not impossible, and you could do it if you had something motivating you in front of your face. You could do it if you had something external like that, where you could feel the joy and the privilege, and you honestly, as you were counting down the time that you turned 21 or 25 or something like that, a long time for some of you. Some of you are like, I'm older than that. Doesn't work anymore. But that's okay. That's okay. But you'd be counting down the time and you'd just be like, okay, here it comes. And I'm going to buy this and buy this. I'm going to buy this. Can't wait to do all of this with my money, because it would motivate you. It would motivate you. And therefore, if it could motivate you, you'd be surprised at what you could do. You'd be surprised at what you could do if you actually were motivated. Where many of us fail in relationships and sex and all of those kind of things is we don't really believe it'll ever fully happen. We don't believe that God's word is true and that Jesus' model is our model. We don't really believe it. And therefore, you don't start messing around or messing up or just having sex because you're super passionate or you just can't control your sex drive. You do it because you're not passionate enough and you have no plan and no understanding of the promise that God has for you in the future. That's straight up. You just don't have it. Because if you did, you'd be able to push everything aside and go, I'm focusing on this goal. I'm focusing on this goal. And let me tell you, the promises of a good marriage, a good relationship, a good emotional sex life, if you will, are worth it. And if I could just convince you, if I could take down every one of your arguments and go, what about? I don't even think that would do it enough. You need to look at Jesus and trust that he has good gifts. So let me tell you what was super helpful for me. Because guess what? I did make that. Now, it's not like I didn't kiss girls. I kissed far too many, in my opinion. But I didn't have sex before I was married. And I'll tell you what was really helpful for me. Okay? And we're going to get other people in the panel and lots of other fun stuff. But you know what was helpful for me? Is that I understood one thing. That there was enough people around me that said sex was mind-blowing. Okay? There was enough people. I had friends of mine that started having sex early on in life. And they would just come and start telling me stories. And they'd be like, oh, my goodness. That was the best night of my life. They'd be like, oh my goodness, that was unbelievable. They're having sex before marriage. I'd listen to some married people, and especially newly married people in the church, and they'd be like, ah, this is just so good. Sex is awesome. It's the best ever. And I'm listening to all those things, and I'm going, wow, it must be good. Sex must be good. And it must be just so good that I want the very best of what is so good. See, in that way, I was kind of selfish. In that way, I was like, you know what? I believe that God is a good God and that God has good plans. And I looked at my life in the areas of practical obedience where I trusted God and received His goodness, where I believed Him and received His goodness. When I responded to Him in faith, my heart was overwhelmed and I thought that everything was totally different and the sky was bluer and life was better. And Jesus has never let me down. And so therefore, I looked at sex and relationships and went, Jesus will never let me down. He will never let me down. And what He says is good. Therefore, what He promises must be worth waiting for. Therefore, I would fight for it. I would fight for it. I was in positions and times, careful with the word positions, but positions and times where I would literally be in a position where sex was a very easy option right there. In fact, one girl in one of my stories of growing up, one girl literally blocked the doorway and said, we're not leaving here tonight until we have sex. And I was like, ha, 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 yikes. And for a minute, don't even think for a minute, I was thinking like, I'm holy. I don't want to do this. I was thinking, awesome. But then in my head, I was going, but it won't be the best. I got to get out of here. So I'm like, like just out I go. Needless to say, going back to school that day was pretty awkward, but do you hear what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want not the best. Does that make sense? And now some people go, well, some people just have this weird complex where they're just like, oh, I'll never get the best anyway, so this must be good enough. Come on. Do you really want that to define your life? Do you really want, like, no, come on. If you believe anything good, believe this. The more you save for marriage, the more mind-blowing it'll be. Seriously. The more you stop playing with yourself, the more mind-blowing it'll be. I'm not joking. Some guys are like, oh, I'll wait for marriage, but you're jacking off every night. Like, it's like, that's not going to help. No, it's not. It's actually, we'll talk about that later, but that'll actually hinder a great sex life for your future. Not condemning, inviting. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want you to be invited into a great life. Because guys, here's what I do know. And my wife and I, we do a lot of like premarital counseling, and we do, which means counseling before you're married. And we do a lot of just relationship things. And we want to talk to people about relationships. Why? Because we know it's so valuable. And a lot of people didn't really talk to us. And we kind of had to just figure certain things out. And we had to see, like, we had to trust and believe God over our personal understandings and have His view change ours. But here's what we do see and what we do know. Is that sex before marriage is like fire outside of a fireplace. Okay? Fire inside a fireplace, like a real live fireplace, is awesome. It's super happy. It's controlled. It's not going to burn your house down. Fire outside of a fireplace is a little dangerous. Now, I'm not talking a campfire. That's still controlled. Don't start thinking, fire out in the woods is better. Like, I'm talking about fire outside when it's somebody's house is lit on fire or like the forest is burning down. Fire outside is so dangerous. Fire inside a fireplace, it's something that provides heat, warmth. You can cook on it. You can do everything with fire. And fire is unbelievable. And see, God's marriage picture and relationship as He has defined it is one man for one woman for one lifetime in a unique, exclusive relationship is kind of like a fireplace with fire. Sex is unbelievable. And sex is something that literally causes damage in everybody's lives. Sex adds emotional heartbreak, emotional pain. It doesn't fill your securities like you think it will. If I just have sex, it'll be okay. If I just have sex, I'll really be loved. If I just have sex, somebody will notice me. It's a lie, because if it's not in marriage, it's gonna not deliver on its promised goods, and it'll cause you more pain than joy. I grew up with a girl that didn't believe me when I started to preach this, and I started to really be confirmed on this. And my parents instilled this view and value in my heart early on in life. But I grew up with a girl that didn't believe it at all. And she decided one day, you know what? I just want to be loved. She crossed the line. She went and began to have sex. And sex with one guy where she said, no, it's just because he loves me and it's going to be okay. And he even said, I'm ready when you're ready. Just be like, then go get a ring and we'll get married and we'll, like, you know, like, that's when he's ready, okay? We'll talk about that another time. But here what I'm saying is she decided to go and just began to have sex and had sex with one guy. And she even communicated with people that I knew, including myself, just saying, that was the best decision of my life. Literally. And honestly, I fell down crying. I was like, seriously? And I asked God, I was like, God, how can she say this was the best decision of her life? And I was going, are you a liar? Am I an idiot? Here I am, 19, waiting for marriage, and not a virgin, and not experiencing that kind of a life. And I'm going, God, seriously, it like started to break me. And it broke me because I knew where this girl was going. But I felt truthfully in my heart that God would show them he is true. And that relationship ended up breaking up. And she just began having sex with another guy, the next relationship. And then the next relationship. And then the next relationship. And now, even to this day, she's broken, completely messy, and just saying that was the worst decision I could have ever have made. That what would have felt so good for a moment, and what was unbelievably, I'd be a fool to tell you that sex is dirty, wrong, and gross. I'd be a fool to tell you that it isn't the most tempting thing. I'd be a fool. It's tempting for girls in ways it's not tempting for guys, and it's tempting for guys in ways it's not necessarily tempting for girls, but at the end of the day, it's something that is very good. And you can walk from this kind of a relationship series and you can go, I know, I know. And you can cross your lines. You can come close to the edge as if you're fooling God. And you can not listen to what I'm saying. And you can even find yourself justified and seems like you'd be proved true going, what does he know? This was the best night of my life. This is the best months of my life. But all I do know is that it catches up with you one day. And one day, if you ever hang out with me long enough, you'll probably end up coming over to my house and start talking about how broken your life is now. Because it's not something to play with. It'll burn your life down. And here's the funny thing that most young people never think about. Is that it doesn't ever just affect you. The consequences of promiscuous lifestyle, the consequences of fooling around even with the one you love and you're going to get married before marriage affects families, affects relationships. We counsel people that can't go to Thanksgiving dinner anymore because they slept with that person that's a family friend. It's just too awkward now because it didn't last. What was fun for a moment isn't fun for a lifetime. And I'm all about fun for a lifetime. Best fun ever for a lifetime. Like honestly, if you really thought it through and you thought it away from your life, okay, and you thought it away, like, that's a really important feature. When you're trying to make decisions, please don't think that you can make them by yourself. God gave you lots of people around you. And don't get people that are the exact same age, exact same circumstances as you. Get people that are older, maybe a little wiser than you, and actually are out for your good, because they'll tell you what you need to know and what you need to hear. And they'll actually help you come out of yourself. Because what feels like this is going to be a good decision, this is going to be a good decision, all of a sudden isn't such a good decision. I remember one time I was cliff jumping. And I was cliff jumping about, I think, maybe 50 feet, okay? And everyone's going, this is a good idea, this is a good idea, this is a good idea. And if I would have just thought for a minute that, number one, I don't like swimming. Number two, I don't like water, even if it's lakes, because there's sharks in there. And I can't handle what's below. And if I could think for a moment of all those things, I could talk to somebody older and wiser and go, Sam, I know you, I know you. I would have thought for a minute there and gone, you know what? Maybe this isn't good for me. Like, this isn't a good idea right now. Maybe never in my life. And I remember going like this, running back and going, one, two, three, ah! And as I'm, and it's amazing when you're in a scary kind of situation. And some of you are like, I love cliff jumping. It's amazing. Good for you. But for me, when it's all of a sudden scary and you're realizing how fast you're going down and you're realizing, shoot, I don't even know if I can dive properly. Like, and you're going to, am I going to hit my head or am I going to hit something else? It's going to be like, ah! And you're kind of flailing. It's amazing how much flashes through your mind. And what was flashing through my mind was, I'm going to die. This is the worst decision ever. What if I'm never going to get married? What if I injure myself permanently so that I'm crippled? Like, all of these things, because it was kind of a big fall. And I'm going through, and then I'm in the water, and I'm going, and I keep going down, and I'm like, I'm getting closer to the bottom. This is scary. I don't even know what's going on. And I'm like, I got to get up. And then I had to swim. It was all of these crazy emotions going on. And that's kind of like what happens. What seems like a good idea in the moment, or what seems like a great idea for a moment, does not end up being the great idea for a lifetime. Okay? Nothing, sex is nothing like jumping off a cliff. Okay, just so you know, it's nothing like jumping off a cliff, but it is like once you cross that line, you can never go back. See, I couldn't pause and go, okay, and then climb back up the air, back up to the cliff. Once I jumped, I've crossed. And so many young people want to ask, where's the line? How far can I go? And I want to say, instead of looking at where's the line, and how far you can go, look at how far you shouldn't even come close to going. Like, think of everything that gets you going horny-wise, okay? And use that as a grid to run the other way. Till you're married. Because a lot of Christians, here's where they struggle. They save, they do everything but have intercourse. They do everything but. And they actually train themselves, and they don't know they're training themselves this way, but they actually train themselves to have stopping points. And you know what that causes? Hurt feelings and great pain in marriage relationships. Because all of a sudden you'll be going, 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 and all of a sudden stop. Or feel like you have to stop. Or have sexual dysfunctions because of your promiscuous previous life. And so it's not about where's the line. It's about when's the time. It's not about how far can you go. It's how much you can save. How much can I save? And when you're in any relationship, it's about not how much can I get, but how much can I give? How much can I give? Jesus demonstrates something unbelievable in the way he lives his life. And he gives us the secret, I think, to a great marriage in this. And if you're taking notes, I just want to give you this to check out later. Philippians 2:5 and in the surrounding verses says that Jesus willingly and graciously gave himself for us. He willingly and graciously gave himself. And so in a relationship of any sort or kind, but especially in a dating type relationship, you want to willingly and graciously give yourself. And that doesn't mean sex, but rather give up your desires for having sex now instead of waiting for later. That means giving up your rights. Guys, you pay for a girl's dinner. It doesn't mean that she owes you anything that has to do with her body. She gave you her time. That's good enough for you. Amen. That was, I know. It was good. It was good. You know what? And Jesus, in 2 Peter 1:4, Jesus willingly and definitively gave us a brand new life. See, if you're here tonight and you don't know who Jesus is, your first step to a great relationship is to have your relationship with Jesus awakened, renewed, completely change your pattern of where you are going and run after him. Because when he comes into relationship with you, he's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's never going to break up with you. He's all in. And so you want to be careful not to make promises with your mouth or with your body in any relationship unless you're all in. Don't just use the person around you because they're fun and they make you feel good for a time. Have a plan for marriage. And you can be that serious, especially at this kind of a place. Have a plan. And if you're too young to think about getting married, and if you got married, your parents would have to sign for you on your wedding registry, forget it. Just leave it. Wait. Focus on school, your career, all those other things, serving in church, all those kind of wonderful things. Learn a musical instrument. Learn how to fold paper. Do something other than dating. Like, seriously, you don't need a relationship in high school. You don't need, and I know there's those awesome stories. I know personally stories of guys that have dated since high school, but it didn't make their life any easier, and it actually hindered a lot of what they did. But they stayed dating in high school, and they hung out and all those kind of things, and ended up getting married and all that fun, wonderful stuff. You don't need it. You really don't need it, but you want to make sure that when you come into a relationship, you're all in. Romans 6:5 says that Jesus willingly and sacrificially gave all of himself. Do you see self-giving love there? Sacrificially. And unless you're going into marriage, sacrificially, meaning it's going to cost you everything that you've got, everything to lose and nothing to gain. You're not going into marriage going, okay, I'm going to come in with my stuff and you're going to come in with your stuff. And I'm going to come in with my bank account and my life and my friends. You're going to come in with your life and your friends and your bank account. You become one in marriage. That's the mystery. How two people become one. And how God breathes upon that relationship and creates something that has never existed in creation before. And apart from marriage and covenant before God and before others, it's not the same thing. Honestly, I know people that have waited, both of them, until marriage, and actually 2 weeks before their wedding, they had sex with each other, and their life has been nothing but pain, suffering, and emotional difficulties. 2 weeks. You waited your whole life and you couldn't wait 2 weeks. Do you hear? Know another couple in my life. These are people that none of you know, and I would never tell a story about someone even in our morning church or night church, anything like that, at youth church. But I know another couple that literally decided to, the night before they were married, just wanted to be sure they really did love this one person they were getting married. And so they slept with this person's best friend the night before they're getting married. Just to make sure. And then, like seriously, do you see how? But you know what? It seemed like a really good thought in that moment. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now you're looking at it going, that's retarded. But honestly, if you sit in a pre-marriage counseling with me and Maddie at some point, and you sit there, and whether you had sex the night before your wedding or when you were 12 years old, your spouse, your future wife, your future husband is going to feel the same pain. It doesn't get any easier. It doesn't get any easier. Night before, 12 years before. It doesn't. You did what? With him? Do you hear what I'm saying? And so don't justify for a moment your mind going like, it's going to be okay. Or don't justify for a moment that, oh, I'll just have sex now and then I'll just marry someone that's had lots of sex. That's not going to work out well for you. Do you understand? This is good and this is gold. And so Jesus willingly and selflessly gave himself, and Jesus joyously and passionately gave himself. And what I want to end with is this. is that it's self-giving love. And it's not self-giving love in a robotic kind of fashion. It's self-giving love that is joyous, passionate, angry at times, frustrated, full of real emotions. There are no wrong emotions. There are emotions handled wrongly. There are no wrong emotions. You feel an emotion, it's the right emotion. It's what you do with that emotion that makes it right or wrong. And how much pain it causes others or yourself that makes it right or wrong. So all of these feelings that you get, that God seems to just give to people at a very early age, seems like it's frustrating and crazy and ridiculous, but it creates in us time to manage and turn to Him for help, that we could learn how to be selfless and giving and fully in and joyously, delightfully, sacrificially, passionately, lovingly giving all that we are to one person for one lifetime. And that's God's greatest gift when it comes to marriage and sex. And when it comes to, and honestly, you need to know this as well. Maddie's the best kisser I ever kissed. And she's totally different than every other girl that I ever kissed. And here's what you need to know. You don't have to practice on people. There's that cute show a long time ago, super old, many of you might not know it, but called My Girl. And there's all sorts of other shows that have come out, or movies, where people practice kissing. People practice kissing before so they'll be good and won't be stupid. Honestly, if you're going for purity in your relationship, there's nothing of a greater gift than to be the most experienced weirdo in the world, because you're your spouse's weirdo. And nobody wants to hop into bed with somebody for the first time and find out that they are so experienced and amazing, because halfway through you're going to be like, who have you been practicing on? No, a little awkward. It's okay. Like, so what I'm asking you to do tonight is think. Start thinking. And it's okay to think. It's okay to not be perfect at this. It's okay to think that you've messed everything up. It's okay to think that you've gone way too far. And it's okay to think that you're not necessarily okay with everything I said tonight. It's okay to be where you are. But what it's not okay to do is not think and just live by your emotions. Because your emotions will lie to you every minute of every day. You gotta have a goal and a vision. Almost like you'll get a $10 million check if you just make it. Because honestly, you'll feel like bazillions of dollars on your wedding day. Do you know, honestly, I can look at Maddie and go, for no minute of my life, when she walked down the aisle, and I mean, it was a crazy day. It rained harder on our wedding day than any other day in the history of the universe. Like, record-breaking rainfall, not joking. Record-breaking rainfall. And we had an outdoor wedding in the woods planned, and we had all this fun stuff, kind of like Robin Hood and Maid Marian, and it was going to be awesome. And it rained and rained and rained, and we had to change everything, and it was all crazy, and it was so different, and all these kind of things were happening all at once, and it's like time stopped as soon as I saw Maddie walk down the aisle, and tears started flowing from my face, and at no point did I think, should have slept with that person. At no point did I think, really wish I was more experienced. All I could think is, I'm having sex tonight. Like, seriously. Like, I don't think I heard a word about the marriage ceremony. Because, like, I'm having sex tonight. And I was like, I can't wait to find out what this is. I'm not even joking. I was like, if this is good, like honestly, if God's a good, and so honestly, And so without divulging too many details, it was awesome. and you know what's, and can I just tell you this? That in a right marriage relationship, a marriage of self-giving love, not perfect, but working towards it. Do you know sex gets better? Like, I can honestly remember my wedding night because that's my only experience. You know how amazing that is? I can remember it. I'll have times when I'm at work and I'll remember it. And honestly, and this might be a little too awkward and some of you may never come back, but honestly, the sex that I'm having now in our ninth year of marriage makes me look like an idiot back then. And it's way better. And so can I just be real honest with you? A little more honest. Maybe we'll cut this out of the tape. But can I be real honest with you? The promises of God aren't just it's good and that's all you're going to get. It's good and it's going to get better and better and better and better. And just like my relationship with Jesus now is way better than when it was when I first started. And relationship in life is better than when it first started. Like that, like a gift you keep on wrapping and it gets better and better as you put work and self-giving love into it. It just gets better. It gets better. And so when you're looking at people in the media and on movies and all these kind of things and people giving stories about how it's so frustrating and they're looking for better positions or toys or other things like that and they're trying to figure out how to have a better sex life and I'm just going, man, I'm just like on an upward slope. Like, this is just the best ever. And it just keeps getting better and better and better and better. And so you're in a place of constantly going, can it get any better? And it's like, yes, it can. And don't you want that life? Like, is that not the kind of life that you want? Honestly, if I heard this, it would have been way easier in my lifetime. It would have been way easier if I ever heard anything even remotely close to this when I was growing up. It would have been easier. But you got to make the decision now. And you've got to look at the perspective of what God has said. And you've got to put your trust in Him beyond your current emotions. And go, I'll believe you above my feelings. And I'll believe you as a good, loving God that's out for my good, not out to mess me up or just wreck my life or withhold good things from me. But He's out to give you good. And if you have that trust in your heart, you'll begin to listen to what I say more in the future and what others will say. And you'll begin to hear it with fresh ears. Because you'll be learning in a way that'll be totally different. You'll learn in a way that'll be unbelievable. And you know what's so amazing? Is my experiences are going to be nothing like your experiences because it's you. And God caters it to you. And that's why practicing on other people doesn't work. Because the person you marry is unique and totally different and likes different things than the other people that you were with before. So you can't be an expert at sex. Because you have to start completely over with the person that you are with. And just, I want to free you. You don't need to be looking at magazines to know 10 things that please a guy. You don't. Guess what you get to do? When you're married, you get to ask him. Do you hear what I'm saying? No magazine in the world would help you. Ask the person you're married to. Do you hear what I'm saying? So that's what I want to give you tonight. Is self-giving love. And you can begin to work and prepare yourself for marriage by actually, and prepare yourself for a great life by actually working at self-giving love according to Jesus's model. You want to know how to live selflessly, live graciously, sacrificially, passionately? Look at Jesus. Get to know Him in the Gospels. Get to know Him in the words of Scripture. See how He moved. See how He acted. And then go, Jesus, I want to be like You. And I want to see Your life in my life more passionately, more better. And honestly, that would be the best investment you can make in your marriage. Better than even going to a gym. Better than eating right. All those things are great. But Jesus is our model. Jesus is our source. And so tonight, it's a little bit longer than what it will normally be because we're going to do interviews normally. But I just wanted to set you up for the greatest success you could possibly have, that you would hear that Jesus has good things for you. And it's okay to think the way I'm talking right now. And it's okay to trust that Jesus has a plan. Do you know the Bible's full of sex? And the Bible is full of teaching about sex. And I'll tell you some of my most favorite scriptures. Scriptures to memorize and to quote for the future. In the future. So why don't we stand tonight? We're just going to end with this. I want to pray for you. Just to change your position. I know you've been sitting for a while. Let's just pray here. So Jesus, I pray for my friends in this room. I pray for everybody that's just come into this place tonight. Jesus, I pray that you would be just unbelievably clear tonight. That you'd take anything that wasn't of you tonight, of my words, and you would just erase them in people's minds, and you would bring out the gold of what you were saying to hearts tonight. That there would be passion and purity in this place. That you would set us on a course for life. And a course running after you. May you be glorified in the way we deal with our bodies, in the way we use our minds. Would you be glorified in the way that we trust you tonight? In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information, visit pilgrimhillchurch.ca.